There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
And welcome. This is Beyond the Darkness. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, along with me, Tim Dennis. Tim, over the years, we've covered many conspiracies.
Oh, yes.
We've sat in front of Lee Harvey Oswald's lover, Judith Vary Baker. I've watched her, looked into her eyes as she told me a completely different story than we've ever heard before.
Right.
I watched her well up with tears and be emotionally wrecked by the playing of a song because it was something that reminded her of Lee. And you look at some of these stories that have come along and conspiracies. And part of the reason, you know, I've said this, I don't like doing a lot of conspiracy shows just because they're too dark, you know, and it gets to you. It starts to make you paranoid, looking at everything as a potential way to kill you, hurt you, take away your liberties. But people love conspiracies.
Oh, I do.
I know you do. Yeah. You're big into that.
Yeah.
And I you know, I like going down the rabbit hole. We've had fun. Did Michael Jackson fake his death? I don't know. We talked about it. We had an interesting guest, and we had a very interesting caller who had some definite insights of their own. Did Elvis fake his death? That was another one of my fascinating shows that I really liked doing a number of years ago. So these are conspiracies to me that, like, it doesn't negatively impact the world other than we lost a celebrity we love. But when you start getting into, you know, they're pumping fluoride into our water so that they can control us mentally with microwave technology from outer space that was used because they picked it out of JFK's brain just before the alien invasion.
Right.
Yeah. Things start to get wonky for me. Again, maybe the reason that I roll my eyes as it is because I don't want to believe that. I don't want to believe all the weird, dark stuff that's going on in the world. I'd like to just think that it's a bunch of nuts that have way too much free time. And this is kind of their World of Warcraft. This is what they get into and will follow these rabbit holes. And we've done a few which have sent me into a couple of very bizarre places over the years. I mean, what's your favorite conspiracy that we've ever covered?
You know, the one that I find, and people are going to shell me for this, is chemtrails.
Chemtrails.
I have the worst time with chemtrails. I don't know why.
Well, of course, because they're polluting you and poisoning you.
Well, and I roll my eyes at chemtrails a little bit, and people have an issue with it, but that's just me, I guess.
You don't you don't buy into the idea of chemtrails?
I don't.
That they're polluting the skies, maybe even creating like a magnetic resonance net to keep us safe from alien interference?
No.
No?
No.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a chemical that's able to enrich the voice of John Bon Jovi and keep his warfare against humanity
going. That I'll believe. Yeah, I think he is just a plant by the CIA to lower the population, to lower our sperm count, Dave. I think I've gone over this before.
You believe Bon Jovi is here to lower our sperm count?
Yeah, lower the male sperm count.
It's not working, Tim. I have seven children.
The Illuminati is sent John Bon Jovi through the CIA to lower everyone's sperm count so that we stop producing humans and get us down to that 500,000.
Have you ever gone to a Bon Jovi concert?
I have once.
I got laid a lot after Bon Jovi concerts. I even knew some of the girls I was with.
Slippery When Wet tour day is the one I went to.
Yeah, so I don't know that necessarily works, Tim, because I'm a father of seven, and I've been to 3-4 Bon Jovi concerts and always got a little Bon Jovi loving afterwards. He's good for, getting the ladies ready.
He's a great contraceptive now, Dave.
Is he?
Yeah.
Well, Possibly.
Nobody wants an old man who's shilling Advil.
That's not true.
With a title of an album called This House Is Not For Sale. Nobody wants that guy.
It's when he starts doing Depends commercials, Tim. Then maybe I'll buy that nobody cares. But I think Bon Jovi's still got it going.
The crap has hit the floor.
Yeah,
welcome to Bon Jovi and Depends.
Well, tonight we're going to take a look. And I mentioned this in last night's show. We're going to talk with a guest about conspiracies. And this is going to piss off a lot of people that buy into conspiracies, and it's going to make others stand up and cheer. And maybe we'll win over some people that have been down every rabbit hole. Maybe this will give them some new insights.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this will push others that never believed conspiracies to think our guest is nuts and that they need to look into these things deeper.
Okay.
So that's what intrigued me about this when I got the press release. Joining us tonight on the show, we have Sean Wickens, and he's the author of Tolerable Conspiracies. Some secrets are good for you, Tim. Apparently, there are some that are good for you.
Well, good.
Yeah. Well, I think anyone is good if it keeps your mind engaged.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, he is here to talk to us about things like contrails, Tim, and JFK. I wonder if JFK is behind the contrails.
Probably.
We'll find out about that. Yeah. And we'll talk about all of these different fringe elements as the show progresses this evening. Welcome to the show, comedian and author Sean Wickens. Sean, thank you for joining us.
How's it going, guys? I'm a different kind of nut with free time on my hands.
Yes, obviously.
That's right.
What about conspiracies fascinate you?
Well, you know, I wouldn't call myself a conspiracy believer, but I definitely am a conspiracy a tourist. You know, I definitely listen to sort of everything that comes around, and they're always very fascinating. But, you know, with a lot of things that are going on in the world, people are upset and worried, and people are mad about things happening in the world, and it compelled me to sort of look at things in a different way. This book was sort of a thought experiment at maybe the people that we fear really aren't out to get us, and maybe there's not as much to worry about as we think, or maybe we're worrying about the wrong things. Speaking of Bon Jovi, I believe he was probably put here to give people with bad musical taste something to listen to.
Thank you.
So isn't that great for them?
I thought that was Fleetwood Mac and Steely Dan.
No!
Yeah, that's a fact. How dare you pick on my musical choices of loving Sean Wickens. Bon Jovi has worked well for me through the years.
He even came out and said it was
like it.
Yeah. He came out, Sean, and said it was bad medicine. He just came out and said it.
Yeah, but he said listening to it can get you slippery when wet, Tim. So you got to take it for what it is.
Mixed messages.
Although he does try to convince
Bon Jovi.
Yeah, he does try to convince you to go to New Jersey. So maybe there is a downside.
Right.
I don't know.
But he tours the world. He doesn't stay in New Jersey. He knows what's going on.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right. To take a look at this, I mean, growing up, we were all kind of exposed to things, especially I think when you think conspiracy, the number one conspiracy, aside from Tim's belief of Bon Jovi's demasculination of humanity, is that JFK was assassinated from within, that LBJ or the powers to be or the mob had him offed because of his position in politics. When you start to research something that big with so many aspects.
It sounds like a scary assertion that the people who are in charge of us are taking out their own people. You're right. It is cause for worry, perhaps.
Do you think people jump to the idea or try to make sense and logic of a tragedy with conspiratorial ideas? Because the idea that what happened is just so tragic that, you know, one lone nut took upon himself to end the life of John Kennedy or Martin Luther King or Robert Kennedy, that there has to be something more nefarious behind it. It couldn't just be one person. There had to be a much bigger reason for this death.
It's possible. You know, we go through our lives and we don't realize how safe we are until something horrible happens and it makes us sort of rethink our place in the world. But, you know, speaking of JFK, my book posits that he was taken out from within, but it was a good thing that it happened because JFK at the time was he had gone syphilis mad, and he, you know, we don't want somebody like that walking around with a nuclear code. So it was a good thing for America and the rest of the world that we did take him out.
Oh, so there's the silver linings.
That's the silver lining, right, of course.
Well, where would you – okay, let's go down your disease-riddled rabbit hole. Where did you come up with the philosophy that he was syphilis-ridden at the time of his assassination?
Well, I cover this a little bit in my the intro to the book, but I have some secret anonymous sources that really know the what's going on.
Mm.
So I was sought out as sort of a trusted voice of reason to present all of this the silver lining truths to the world.
You gotta like that. When you're,
unnamed sources.
Yeah, when you're specifically sought out to be given the information of the world and the answers behind some of the darkest conspiracies of our times.
That's right. Prophets aren't they don't choose themselves.
No,
you know what I mean,
no. You're a hero. You're a hero in your own time, Sean.
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
I'm glad somebody was finally able to step forward. And
that's right. I believe it, but I'm glad somebody else said it first.
Oh, sure, sure. Well, according to your press release, this is what I was supposed to say. So I'm behind you. looking at the conspiracies, how do you rank? What do you think are some of the biggest conspiracies that we've been led to believe actually exist, aside from the Kennedy assassination?
Well, yeah, I think one of the most fascinating ones, I think, is, and it's sort of a, I wouldn't say that it's a popular one, but the people who believe it really believe it hard. But the lizard people controlling the
government—it's
that's definitely a fascinating one to me.
Yeah, the lizard people, the reptilians.
That's right. That's right.
Leading the government. That's not so hard for me to believe, though.
You're in good luck.
Yeah.
Because if it is true, you know, humans are very. They don't make decisions very well.
No.
You know, if you just think about how sometimes it's difficult to even choose what to eat for lunch,
right.
or
who to sleep with after a Bon Jovi concert. Right, right. I'm with you.
That's right. Humans can't be trusted with these huge decisions. So it's good that we have sort of more instinctive thinking lizard brain people who are making these snap judgments.
Sure.
If we had a human running things, nothing would ever get done. Not that much really gets done, but it's, it would be worse if humans were in charge.
Right. You want something that feeds on crickets to really make the better choices for us.
That's right.
Then people
good
that
source
are,
of protein.
Are living on McDonald's. Yeah. Maybe that's, you know, the pollution.
Yeah.
That's where the real conspiracy is, how McDonald's is infiltrating our brains with their highly addictive food sources, them and KFC and
sure,
Taco
yeah.
Bell. There's a true conspiratorial story that people need to dig at more is why are we addicted to these things?
How do we put a stop to that? Yeah, they're on every corner.
It's the real Illuminati is the Burger King and Ronald McDonald. They're hanging out and they're the ones with the little chihuahua from Taco Bell that are ruling the world.
Well, the truth is always stranger than fiction. That's very true.
Well, that's what they say. The moon landing was another one that really seems to have polarized people, that the moon landing did take place, but that the footage that they received was such garbage that they ended up reshooting it on a soundstage. That's one of the conspiratorial stories. The other one is we just never made it there, but we wanted to look superior in the eyes of the world to China and Russia. So we faked the entire thing on a soundstage and, you know – that conspiracy has helped along when you've got guys coming forward like Stanley Kubrick making deathbed confessions and leaving cryptic messages behind about this this conspiratorial movie that he shot that was specially commissioned by government officials and certainly leads you down to believe that maybe he was involved in a fake lunar landing shot.
That's true. You know, my sources have not revealed if Stanley Kubrick was involved, but if he was, he did a great job. But remember when I said JFK had gone a little crazy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, right when he was inaugurated, he promised, well, we're going to be sending people to the moon. Right off the bat, he made a crazy promise, you know, shooting people through the highly radioactive Van Allen belts. That it would have been horrible. So we had to fake it to sort of cover our own ass in a way for a crazy claim that a crazy president had made.
So what's the silver lining of the lunar conspiracy in your opinion?
Well, the silver lining is that by pretending to go, we were able to more fully cover up that we had a madman running things, JFK, secretly crazy.
So again, it all comes back to JFK. He's the linchpin in how many different conspiratorial ideas do you believe that are out there circulating right now?
Those are my two main ones.
Okay.
He might have been a lizard person too, though. That I'm not sure. That is, we have to investigate that one further.
Well, get on that and let me know when the second book comes out, would you?
That's right. Yeah.
The you look at fake news, which there is a lot of, and I say fake news loosely, but news that maybe is not as researched as it once was. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to be Johnny on the spot with a story, sharing their insights and making the headlines and getting the viewers and listeners to tune in for that 15-minute spot. Do you think that the media is mostly to blame for people buying into conspiratorial ideas?
I don't know if we can blame the media. You know, fake news is an interesting topic that's, you know, fake news has been in the news lately, which is interesting in itself. But, you know, we never know what to believe at all. You know, when you think about sort of like health experts going on news shows and saying eggs are bad, but then we found out that eggs are actually great. Sometimes we find out that coffee is bad, and then we find out that coffee is actually kind of good for you. Nobody ever really knows what's really going on. I think that we, as a species, we're all going through life with just a very small sliver of information. So, you know, the media is just sort of like reporting what other people are saying. So I don't want to point too many fingers, but when some people say the media crazy, I feel like I should point out that we're kind of crazy too. Who isn't crazy? But the good news is we're in good company if we're all crazy. So that's nothing to be too upset about.
There are all of these conspiracies behind so many of these secret factions, the Illuminati, the Freemasons, the Knights Templar, the Skull and Crossbone Society, all of these different groups that seem to be running the world. You know, how can there be so many groups that that lay claim to running the world and having the true power? You know, I mean, why are they not offing each other in order to maintain who the real boss is?
Well, I've been told, you know, all these secret groups, the Illuminati, the Knights Templar, they're just the same group. Mm-hmm. They just keep on changing their name. You know, if people start worrying about the Knights Templar, you know, they just get together and it's like, well, we got to change our name.
Oh, so it's a PR thing.
Of course, but it's very easy for them to, the real people in charge, is like, wow, these Knights Templar people are crazy. That really throws everyone off their tail because it's like actually them. They're just a new group now.
Rebranding. It's a reimagining of the storyline and then somewhat taking more popular view vote so that you take the heat off of what your group is truly doing so that you can continue with your dirty covert action.
Well, not really so much dirty. You know, the Illuminati are there to actually keep the lizard people in check. So it's a good checks and balances for what's going on behind the scenes.
There seems to be a lot of conflict behind the scenes. We can't get along with anybody. How can there be all of these different groups and factions, lizard people and Illuminati and, you know, Bon Jovi fans and all coexisting in one world where we're not trying to take each other out? That's where it seems weird.
Right.
That would be the silver lining if they just started eradicating each other.
Well, we'll see. You know, it's history proves that it always gets weird. So, you know, we'll see what's around the corner. I was listening to one of your episodes the other day. The author who had the book about death.
Oh, right, Neil Story. Right.
That's right. Yeah, and he was sort of talking about these the body snatchers, the grave robbers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting because you know back then we had theater, but we didn't have radio. We didn't have reality shows. It felt like those grave robbers were sort of the pop culture icons of the day. They were celebrated in a way, I think he said.
Right. Yeah.
So it's a weird part of history. Life is always weird. I think we do a disservice to kids that we don't let them know, hey, life's a lot weirder than you expect it will be once you get out into the real world.
it is interesting, isn't it, how we look at people like, you know, grave robbers, and they kind of became the Robin Hoods of their era, right? They figured out the angle. They were the popularity. Then you've got guys like Capone and Dillinger and Babyface Nelson and Bonnie and Clyde, and they became kind of cult heroes for murdering and stealing and screwing over over the government.
Yeah, somebody, go ahead.
No, I was just saying that to me is intriguing, why people, you know, why people will jump to those angles to kind of hero worship or idolize somebody that's bucking the system.
It's true. Yeah. Well, for one thing, nobody likes to be told what to do. So I think we sort of see something that we wish we could do in people who are perhaps even doing something horrible, you know. But it's recently somebody pointed out to me that, you know, a very popular kids costume is pirates, and pirates were not great people. They were pretty horrible, violent people. But it's just it's become a cute.
I don't think it's fair for you to lump them in all together. Obviously, Captain Jack Sparrow,
sure,
although a bit of a you know, me first kind of guy, was obviously willing to help others. So I don't think it's fair to lump all pirates in one dirty rapist category.
That's true. Yeah, there were the Robin Hood pirates, and there were right. There are also the horrible
the swashbucklery
pirates.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's just, you know, that's like in any race. There's multiple versions of those, you know, multiple shades of gray, if you will, of every different aspect.
Sure.
When you're looking though at stories and the news, are you surprised by how many conspiracies seem to be launched every year?
Not really, because it's sort of, you know, nobody really knows what's going on. It's the example of the food expert who's on a show and says, you know, eggs are bad or now eggs are good. Sort of like nobody knows what's going on. It's not surprising that people panic and make up their own connections for things.
Well, you know, that's funny that you bring something like that up. I grew up having seven children. At different points in time, we were told, you know, don't lay your babies down on their backs. That's the worst thing in the world.
Oh, right.
And that causes SIDS. Then my second child, it was never lay your kid on your back. They should always be laid on their stomach in case they vomit. They won't aspirate it. And stomach is the only way to go. Then around the time my fourth kid made it into the world, we had to turn him on his side. And we had to get a little foam wedge so that he would lay on his side because that was the best. And then we found out you shouldn't lay him on the heart side because that puts too much pressure and strain on a little heart. So you have to lay him over on the right side of the body. So it always seems altered. Now we're back to, I believe, back sleeping is the best way to be for babies. So, you know, it's interesting how we think we are progressing in history when in most cases it's cyclical and we just always find ourselves back to believing everything's okay. And that's why Tim and I are holding out that eventually it's going to be okay to gorge ourselves with vodka and Twinkies because it's going to be the real nectar of the gods to prolong our lives.
Right. Well, I guess, you know, once we have nanobots that are in our bloodstream cleaning out our system, I think we'll be able to have whatever we want. So, or maybe they'll engineer some sort of health vodka and health Twinkie.
What do you mean once we have nanobots? How do you think Keith Richards and Mick Jagger are still alive, my friend?
Nanobots. Sean,
that's true.
I got to throw this at you because I'm curious. We are in an age now where the term fake news has been brought up. And it seems like fake news has a root in reality and one root in fantasy. And a lot of people would argue that conspiracy theories have a root in reality and a root in fantasy. How do you separate the two, and how do you distinguish the two apart?
Gosh, you know, well, I'll be honest. I'm not a smart man. I don't have all the answers. The information in this book was thankfully compiled from people much smarter than myself, but I feel like as anybody listening to fake news, you know, I think fake news is maybe a misnomer. It's sort of we need to worry about panic news. We should be wary of any headline that is causing you anxiety, because that's what they want. They want people to be anxious. But who knows? Because who knows what the truth in the non-truth is. But who, you know, back to the
who wants us to be nervous and frightened?
That I have not got to the bottom of.
Mm.
See, because there used to be a journalistic standard in this country. It used to be that that with the press, no matter the press never used to have a slant. Even when Dave and I were coming up through journalism school, believe it or not, we were journalists at one time. I know you can
laugh.
the idea was the press was objective. You didn't take a slant to the right. You didn't take a slant to the left. And it seems to me that now the big national news, not your local news, not your regional news, but your national news outlets have taken a firm slant, whether it be left or right. And it seems to me that they are reporting their version of the news, their version of the truth, or their version of talking points. So do you discount all national news altogether, or are there, is there one or two sources out there, or do you just not trust any national news? Do you trust the news that's being brought to you on a local level?
Well, I guess the sad truth is the only thing that you can really trust is what is in your immediate view. But, you know, we could think about these days, like news is slanted. We're getting some inaccurate information. It used to be better. We don't know that it wasn't slanted back then. You know, I wasn't around in the 50s or 60s. Who knows what was reported that wasn't the actual truth? So I believe that it was probably always slanted a little bit. We're just there's more of it nowadays, more news, so we're just aware of it more.
Well, we know that certain things were kept out of the press, like
that's right.
FDR's illnesses. There were certain illnesses that that JFK had that were kept out of the press. Things that were
right,
that
like could, the, like being crazy.
Well, that might be one that you have the exclusive on. But things that could have been detrimental to our security as a nation were kept away from the press, or the press kept them away from the public, so that other countries didn't get a hold of that information and try to use it against us, or try to see us as weak, or try to attack us when we were vulnerable. I think it's a different mindset now. Now it's like the press will grab the information first and put it out there. You know, anybody who be in the way be damned, they're going to be taken down.
Right.
And it's a different mindset. It's kind of a bulldog mentality of going out there, grabbing a hold of whatever you can get and get the scoop first, and never mind what's going to happen with that person later, whether it be a world leader or whatnot. And which way do you think is better? Was it better maybe in the 40s, 50s, 60s when we were more concerned about national security, or now when we're more concerned about getting the story first rather than right?
Well, you know, I think we're definitely better off now than we were back then. It's hard to sort of look at the bright side of things. That's certainly why I put this book out there. But, you know, part of the problem is just, you know, back then there was three networks. There were a few radio stations. There were a few newspapers. Now there's just more voices. No matter what those voices are saying, when there's more of them, it's just going to sound like more noise with people talking over each other. But my goal of this book is really to put people at ease. I'm not telling people that, you know, there's certainly nothing to be worried about. But I think generally we as a human race would be a little better off if we were just worrying slightly less about things. So hopefully the information in this book will put some people at ease. But it may well piss some people off as well, as you pointed out at the top of the show. So we'll see.
Right. People love to hold on to their conspiracies, and especially if they have a pet conspiracy, man, they will fight you to tooth and death. I can't even tell you, every time I filled in on Coast to Coast or even on our show and we touch on a subject like Sandy Hook, the people in my opinion, the people that believe that a school full of children being massacred is a hoax, I just my heart weeps for them and for their lives, that they're that pathetic,
right,
that they believe that was faked and that nobody was murdered, when We physically know people on the ground at that are still tormented by stepping over the bodies of little children. And, you know, to me, that's where it starts getting really weird. You've got the conspiracies where people can see video footage of people crying at Sandy Hook, then people crying at the Boston bombing, and people crying at another tragedy. And they'll take a dark-haired woman holding a cell phone crying and compare them side by side and say, see, it's the exact same actress.
Right, right.
And you think, well, first of all, I think the government would have a deeper pool of crisis actors than keep sending the same Ringling Brothers troop to every town for their tragic news, right? I mean,
of course, right.
Yeah, or at least we'd, you know, foot the bill for a blonde wig once in a while.
Yeah. And they also they believe that you know, lizard people can make themselves look like humans, but somehow humans can't make themselves look like other humans. I understand what you're saying. Yeah. Well, we're just more aware of the crazy voices out there than we were decades ago.
Well, let's,
it's not like what's that?
I said let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll chat a little bit more.
Beyond the darkness.
Tolerable conspiracies. Some secrets are good for you. That's what our guest is here to talk to us about. Joining us right now, Sean Wickens, and we'll have links up to Sean's website, seanwickens.com. You'll be able to find that. And like we said, go check out and pick up a copy of his book, Tolerable Conspiracies. Some secrets are good for you. Let's talk about some of the other conspiracies that you favor in the book. What now, you know, I mentioned earlier, we had Gail Brewer Giorgio on our show a number of years ago regarding the death of Elvis. And she had some really fun, interesting aspects to the story that really led a lot of credence and credibility to why the king would have faked his own death. Where do you come down on this? What's your thoughts on the Elvis conspiracy?
Well, you know, I have no information as to whether he is still alive.
But right.
He definitely did fake his death, more so out of embarrassment. He had started on a sort of experimental music phase, and it was horrible. Horrible music. So the record company refused to release it. So he, out of sort of shame and embarrassment, faked his own death. You know, it's sort of for our own benefit that we weren't subjected to his horrible experimental music, because it would have tainted his legacy.
Sure.
So
do you think he resurfaced years later as a young John Bon Jovi in full disguise? And that's the horrible music to which you're referring?
Yeah, he looks great, if that's the truth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Big hair and spandex can hide a lot of issues and keep you distracted from the fact that it's actually Elvis in costume. So you've got that. You know, Tim brought up at the beginning of the show, talking about things like contrails, chemtrails, this idea that we're spraying our own skies, poisoning our people. What do you think about topics like that?
Yeah, I know that people get very alarmed by it. And it is poison, but it's not poison for us. It's actually poison for malevolent aliens who see that from above. So it's a warning for potential alien invaders to not come here, because we have sprayed the skies to keep them away. It's pest control.
Sure. Well, that actually makes sense to me.
Pest control. Yeah.
And I know you're. I sense a little, perhaps a hint of sarcasm in your assertions for this. I don't know if I'm wrong on this, Sean, and I apologize.
It's my normal speaking voice. Oh. That's I'm a born smartass. I can't turn it off.
But there's a lot of actual belief in the system that the skies are being sprayed in that pattern with an aluminum sulfide or some kind of mix like that that is helping to keep aliens from being able to get through our system or being able to survive here. So, tongue in cheek, you may be onto something. I'm not saying you're on something, but you might be onto something.
The only thing I'm on is coffee, I promise. But, you know, some people might read some of these things and think that I'm crazy. But you know what? There's definitely truth in here somewhere.
But, Sean,
I'm positive it.
Our pest control sucks then, because they're still getting through.
Are they, Tim? Maybe we're just getting the weakest ones.
You know, there's a, earlier we were talking about sort of, good pirates and bad pirates. There's aliens that are, horrible. And there's aliens that aren't so bad.
Okay.
Alien abduction is a thing. But it works out for the best because they actually, it's sort of a thought crime organization, sort of future crime. They are actually taking people who would have committed crimes in the future, sort of tweaking their brains.
Oh, Minority Report.
Reprogramming them to make them not criminals of the future. So we're actually safer for aliens that do get through, the friendly aliens that are coming down here and snatching up our neighbors.
Did you eat paint chips as a child? Or perhaps still snack on them? Could be. I just, again, I don't mean to be conspiratorial. I just think there's something to that.
No, sure.
Let's.
Yeah. I'll admit to being a little off. Definitely. No. I'm a little out there.
Don't cut yourself short. I think you're a lot more off than you believe. Let's go the route of Chupacabra, the cup of coffee.
Sure. So, what is that? Yes. Mysterious creatures that prey the countryside on our livestock. So the chupacabras, they're not that strong. They're not that menacing. They prey on the old and the weak livestock, which we actually shouldn't be eating. We shouldn't be eating old meat. We should be eating younger, virile meat. So they're staying the herd for us. Yes. It's if we were eating things that the chupacabra were targeting, we would be eating inferior meat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's affordable. I have 7 kids.
Isn't that called fast food? Yes. Isn't that inferior meat?
No, Tim. That's a lie. They're actually giving you the best meat, but they have to inject it with spores to make it seem like it's bad for you.
Oh.
So, that's right.
So there's an upside. There's an upside to all of this.
Yeah. I'm sure of it.
Yeah, of course.
Of course, yes.
Yeah. There's good. There's good and bad in everything.
There's less reason to be upset. There's less reason to be upset in the world than we think.
Mm-hmm. Was there
we're going to be okay.
Was there any conspiracies that you peeled back the layers on that you weren't able to find? Maybe as happy an ending?
It hasn't happened yet, I'm rethinking this information about Elvis and Bon Jovi. There might be a connection there. We'll have to see.
I'll expect at least a 5% bump from every book you sell with that new theory.
Of course, yes.
Tim, you had a question?
Oh, I'm just thinking about Elvis and Bon Jovi.
Wow.
Yeah.
Then my plan is working.
Yeah, and the connection between the two.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something. See, Tim, what I'm doing is what's called mind control.
I see.
It's subliminal messages.
I see.
I'm forcing you to think of Bon Jovi and Elvis now, and you can't not think about it. It's like telling you don't think about a white rabbit. All you can think about is
Jefferson Airplane.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. That's the logical jump.
Wow, it worked.
Uh-huh. See how I do? I push. It's like a mental push. He didn't even realize I had these kind of abilities. And when you think mental, think Dave Schrader. That's all I got to say. What about mind control? Subliminal ads. How is that good for us? How can that possibly be leading us to a point of better humanity?
Sure. Well, people are worried that subliminal advertising may make us more docile and so forth. But, I found out that, look, you guys football fans by any chance?
We're Minnesota Vikings fans. I don't know that you can consider football fans.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, if you're married, I expect that possibly, if they're not as into football as you are, they're kind of annoyed with you by the time the postseason rolls around, maybe even the Super Bowl.
What's that?
Is that true?
That's that one place we don't make it to, Tim.
Yeah. Oh, the Super Bowl. Yeah. Never heard of that.
The Viking Super Bowl is like you and I getting laid at prom, just never going to happen.
Right.
Well, the good thing about subliminal advertising is that it caused people to enjoy commercials. And what is the Super Bowl? But it's sort of an event that everybody can find pleasure in, football fans and not non-football fans. Because people who don't like football, they tune in for The commercials. How did we get people to enjoy commercials? It's by injecting subliminal advertising into them to get people to watch them. So any gentleman out there who is a huge football fan whose wife enjoys the Super Bowl, you can thank the lizard overlords who put subliminal advertising in our commercials to make that event more palatable to everyone.
So what you're saying is taking something that's kind of bland and possibly non-interesting and infusing it with a small bit of humor is good for people.
That's right.
Mm. I'm starting to sense that your book might be a conspiracy in itself.
Well, you know, it's possible. I won't. I'll leave that open for people. I don't want to deny that I'm some sort of government agent, because then that would be the first thing that people would think. So, you know what? If people think that about me, that's great. But I am just an author and a spreader of knowledge. And
you're a spreader, that's for sure.
That's.
I don't know if knowledge would have been the word I'd have been looking for in that sentence, but yeah, you spread pretty well.
Well, yeah, there's definitely information in this book. Yeah. We'll call it that. We'll call it information.
Do with it what you will. Sean Wickens,
right,
is our guest at seanwickens.com. You can find more information about tolerable conspiracies. Some secrets are just too good for you, Tim. That's what it's all about.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know that to be true. We'll have to crack the book, read through it, see if we can make sense of this. Maybe this is the Sister Mary sunshine we need in our lives, Tim, so that we can stop walking around with our heads hung low after doing a few episodes of Beyond the Darkness for fear that the world is falling apart and collapsing around us. We can walk instead in this euphoric state that has been created by the music of Bon Jovi and the writings of Sean Wickens.
But Dave, the doomsday clock moved 30 seconds last week.
Yeah. Well, yeah. They didn't know the book was out.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Will that move, move it back 30 seconds then, Sean?
I can't promise anything, but I think we might see some good movement on that doomsday hand. I'm pretty sure. You know, I can't promise that this book will change your life, but I think it'll at least give you one good night of sleep.
I'll take that. It's been a long time since.
I think that's a safe. That's right.
Yeah, I'll take that.
It's a safe promise.
All right. Well, Sean, we wish you a lot of luck with the book and your future endeavors, and I hope that as you continue to uncover these dark stories and try to shed light on them, that we don't hear about you suddenly disappearing and, the body and remains found in nothing but a tutu wrapped in macaroni and cheese in a garbage dumpster somewhere, trying to discredit your hard work.
I might be following in Elvis's footsteps, though. So, it might be all good. I might have retired early.
All right. Well, we wish you luck with that. Thanks a lot for being a part of the show tonight, Sean.
You got it, guys.
Thank you. Take care. So, I am curious. We've had a little fun with the show tonight, taking a lighter look at this. And obviously, Sean's a comedian. Or he bills himself that way, Tim. It says so on the card I'm looking at here.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, we wanted to have a little bit more fun with it instead of always kind of going down these dark rabbit holes. Because believe it or not, I've had people that said, man, your first 10 episodes were dark. They were creepy. Well, it's a paranormal show.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when I've done talks at events where it's called – the name of the talk is called Frightmare Creatures, and it's about the Bloody Bones Man, Black-Eyed Children, and Shadow People, and people bring their 7- and 8-year-old children into the talk.
Why?
And then I kind of confront them up front and say, this is probably not the talk for your kids. And
yeah.
Then they stay, and I tell the story, and they're gone within 10 minutes. So it's sometimes you just have to understand that what you're listening to is going to be a little bit darker because of what we're here doing. We're talking about the paranormal.
Right.
The supernatural.
Right.
The conspiracies.
Right.
What I'd like to hear from our listeners? What conspiracies drive you crazy? What conspiracies have you heard and maybe researched that once you get done with it, you're like, this is nuts. There's no logic or credibility to this at all. In our sense, we talk about the Sandy Hook situation, the people that call it a hoax. That drives me crazy. And save yourself time, please, folks, because I can promise you if you send me an email to try to dissuade me, I won't even read it. I'll just erase it and probably block you. So don't bother doing it. And well, that's awfully short-sighted. What kind of guy does that? This guy. Because, again, I actually know people that were on the ground there and had to sort through that mess. And I just pray that all of you out there that claim to believe that it was all a hoax and nobody died, I hope none of you face a tragedy like what happened at Sandy Hook and have to deal with deniers saying that your children aren't dead or that you were part of this hoax or you allowed your children to be murdered to push an agenda, which I still am not quite clear on. The whole idea at the first was this is a way the government's going to try to strip us of our guns. And if I'm correct, wasn't there a run on guns, automatic weapons, and ammunition after that because people were so afraid that it was going to be taken off the shelves?
Yeah, yeah.
So if there was a conspiracy to be had, wouldn't it be that the NRA faked it in order to push sales of guns and ammunition?
No, you would think.
And I'm not – NRA? I'm not saying you did this. I like you. You do what you need to do. Just don't come knocking on my door. I'm just saying.
I like you.
Tim. They scare me. I don't want to piss off people with guns. I'm just saying if there was going to be a conspiratorial angle, that would be what I would believe it would be, is that you create a false tragedy, then plant the seed that this false tragedy was created in order to strip you of your rights so that more people go out to buy what they don't want. It's like telling a kid, don't smoke, don't look at girly magazines, right?
You're not supposed to do that?
No.
Oh.
Well, that's what my folks told me. We did it anyway.
Well.
Because that's how we work, right? That's how humankind works.
Mm-hmm.
We want what we can't have.
Right.
We chase that rabbit.
The unattainable.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm curious, so what do our listeners hear, conspiratorially wise, that drives them craziest? You can email me, dave@darknessradio.com, and we'll cover this in a future episode. And maybe on a parashare, we'll kind of talk about these stories and what people are driven nuts by. But I also want to know which ones fascinate you the most. You know, what stories does the Kennedy assassination still hold an interest, or are you just tired of it? It's done. You already assume that there's a conspiracy. There's nothing else that's going to ever change your mind on it. You know, let me know what your thoughts are on that. Or I'm also interested to hear from people that have a completely alternate version of these conspiracies. You don't believe that Kennedy was assassinated by Oswald, but you do believe it was, and maybe it's something completely different than we've ever heard before. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean it in a humorous way. I want to know your legitimate, logical thoughts and walk me through the process of why you believe that and try to do it in like one email, not 42-page emails, like a one-page concise email. Try to get me to that point.
Right, right.
Because that would fascinate me to see how people's minds work and what they buy into and what they do not.
A couple of years ago, I did an interview with Gerard Williams, and we were talking about hunting Hitler. Mm-hmm. And it garnered a lot of email, a lot of social media talk back to me. A lot of people who couldn't believe the theory that Hitler and Eva Braun survived the bunker, that they moved to Argentina, that they were whisked away on a sub. And people had a hard time wrapping their heads around it. And that whole Empire Strikes Back vibe, that whole the bad guy won and got away with it, the whole no way, we know the way the story ends and we won World War II, end of story.
Mm-hmm.
And that theory was the one that really got to me after I read Gerard's book, after I watched the documentary, after I talked with Gerard for many hours. That really stuck with me. His research, and he's actually, I believe he's back on A&E doing an episode of Hunting Hitler where they're going to Argentina, and he's contributing to their research. And it's fascinating stuff. And you know, there's a difference, though. There's a difference here, folks, between wanting to mistrust what you hear and a complete and utter distrust to the point where you throw out facts when it comes to conspiracy theories. And this is, I'll bring it back to truthers with the Sandy Hook thing. There are just some things that happen that you can't throw out facts, that you can't distrust what's happened. You can't completely throw it out and say, well, that didn't happen at all. It had to be some sort of weird thing to take away our guns. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. There's just sometimes you've gone off the deep end and you're putting things together that weren't there.
Mm-hmm.
There are sometimes that the news is just the news It's being reported the way it's been. It's the way it's happened.
And they've made mistakes because they, as we said earlier in the show, they want to jump. They want to be the first one to report something. So they'll report a half truth, a close truth without it being truth because they want to be the first to break it. In case it's the reality, they want to say we were the first on the site to and then you forget the BS that they throw out.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. And that's what it is. A lot of times news organizations will be quick to put something on the air. They want to be the first to put something on the air. They want to be the leader in breaking this part of the story.
Mm-hmm.
When they do that, they do make mistakes, and national news outlets make mistakes and they retract as the story is developing all the time.
Right.
You see it all the
time. But the problem is people move on it so quickly, and especially with the advent of social media, that they spread that like wildfire, and then people forget to post the retraction side of that story.
Well, and
so that becomes the legend and truth to many people.
And the other part of that is people who are looking to mistrust and distrust will then hold on to that.
Mm-hmm.
They'll hold on to that mistruth, let's put it that way, right, or that thing that wasn't retracted, and they'll hold on to it as a truth because it was reported. Now, you've got to take the end part of the story and the beginning part of the story, put it together after the story's been assembled, after you've had a week or two to sit back and look at the entire story and say, this is the way the story happened. There were some things that were misreported that were taken back. But essentially, here is the story. And you've heard many famous journalists come forward and say, listen, news reporting is not what it was even 20, 30 years ago.
Right.
It is not as thorough as it used to be. It is not as complete as it used to be. We don't take our time and triple check our facts before we release a news story. And that's dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
And it's caused some people's reputations to be ruined. It's caused some news stories to be thrown askew and become totally different news stories altogether.
Right.
And it has spun people into, again, I'll use the category of truthers.
Right.
It's thrown people into a situation where they're believing things that maybe they wouldn't have believed 10 or 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They've thrown themselves into this extreme category of, you know, I really distrust this organization because.
Mm-hmm.
Where really, if they reeled it back a little bit, they'd see, you know what, I'm believing little things here and there that if I took a step back, I wouldn't believe it at all. If I looked at the entire picture, I would see that maybe something was misreported here. Or maybe that's something that was just put on the internet to make me believe this story. Remember, I don't know if you know this or not, Dave. 100% of what's put on the internet isn't necessarily true.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Yeah.
And you know what? A lot of people, it's your responsibility, too. Before you start spreading news stories, you don't need to always lean on Snopes to check the story. Because, again, from my understanding, Snopes is a married couple who just spend time trying to research stories to see if they can find a nugget of truth in them and then report on it. They're fallible.
Yeah,
so
it can be.
I think what it takes is, you know, there are some news sources out there, and we've been duped by them over the years, where we get a news story sent in by a listener, and it looks like it's from News 8, you know, Channel News 8, and we report the story only to find out that Channel News 8 is a fake or spoof news site.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to read the very fine print on those websites.
Right.
To find out that it is not a legitimate site. And they – people have used the word spoof incorrectly, right?
Mm-hmm.
A spoof news story is John Bon Jovi has been sent here by the CIA to demasculinize, you know, and
– that's real thing.
No, but I'm saying that's a spoof story. That's a funny story that has grounds in reality but then takes things to just an absurd place.
Mm-hmm.
And – some of these stories are written in a way that they appear very real. They quote real sources that didn't say these things, use names that have respectability connected to them, quoting Reuters or AP or you know, presidential candidate or this. They use those terms. And then they post these stories and forget that in a spoof it should be funny. It should have satirical resonance behind it. And in a lot of cases, they don't. It's just some dumbass who typed up a news story that's completely full of lies and garbage, mm-hmm. and in most cases is very hurtful.
Right.
And then there is no tongue-in-cheek play. There is no wink to the audience. And you have to check these news sources specifically to see if there's any detailing in here.
Mm-hmm.
And where does this story come from?
Right.
Is it picked up by mainstream media? If you only find it on, ATP news source, and it's not on Fox, CNN, MSNBC, if there's no other news source that's picked this story up or a variation of that story, there's probably a good reason for it.
Right.
And it's not that it's above top secret and they're suppressing this real news story. You have to do your due diligence before you start spreading false news yourself.
Right. AP, Reuters, all major news outlets will have that story if it's legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times if it's not legitimate, it won't be there. It just won't be there.
No. And that is something that's important. Like I said, we've been duped on it and we've read stories that appear real and, some that are extremely funny. There are some spoof, like when we've done, and that's where it gets hard. When we've done our true crime shows and we read the dumb crime, stupid criminals.
Right.
Sometimes it's hard to tell the difference between a real dumb crime, stupid criminal and a spoof story.
Yeah, it is.
Right. Like the guy that was selling gold bricks, bricks that he had painted gold. And it was a funny as hell story, but you can see it happening because there are goofballs out there. We read about them every week.
Oh, yes.
So there are some of those stories that are hard to get to, but you have to be cautious in this current state of affairs with what you believe and what you buy into. That's why, I still find it funny that people continually ask me to weigh in, and you have seen them do it. Well, what do you think of this with Donald Trump? What do you think of that with Hillary Clinton? We're not political pundits. We are paranormal radio show hosts. And our topic in when we come on here, it's to kind of take you away from the rigors of the regular world and to share different aspects of things and maybe give your mind an hour or 90 minute recess from reality or the confines of what we're being beaten over the head with every day.
And I'll tell you, too, why it's dangerous now, even on social media, to give your opinion one way or another as to where you fall with a presidential candidate, with a stance of how your president is performing, because people are divisive and they take one side or the other when it comes to where they get their news from, their news outlet, their news media, how they feel a presidential candidate or a president is performing. And it's come down to people are going after people with the same fervor they do their favorite sports team. I don't know how to say it, but they take it personally.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the way they used to deal with it in the 70s and the 80s. Republicans and Democrats used to go on the House and Senate floor, and they used to duke it out on the floor, and then afterwards they'd get together and they'd have a drink at night. There was nothing personal. It was business. It was the country's business. And then when they were done at night, they got together like gentlemen and they had a drink and they said, you know what? That was business. There's nothing personal. Politics has become something personal because, and I truly believe this, Dave, and this is my opinion and my opinion only, the electorate has become uneducated. We've taken ourselves out of the news stream and just wanted the bare facts. We just want the bare facts about what's going on. Our lives are too busy. Don't involve me any more than I have to. So when it comes to that, you aren't involved in society. You aren't involved in politics. You aren't involved in the workings and goings on of what's going on in the world. So you form your opinion on what little is going on in your world based on and what little is going on or how much is going on in the world, and you take your opinion on this huge scope of things, and then you go to your friend who has very little opinion on this huge scope of things, and both of you try to take an uneducated opinion and try to fight about it.
Well, and let's face it, we've become a lazy world.
Yeah.
You don't want to read anything more than a paragraph long.
Right.
And I tell people that all the time, please, when you send me an email, unless it's one of your paranormal stories.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a question or you have a point, give me a short, concise email. I'd rather I get two or three emails from you over a week that's a paragraph long than a three-page email from you asking me, because I just don't have time to commit to read that. It's not laziness on my part. It's the fact that I get over 150 emails a day, plus try to lead a regular life. But a lot of us have just gotten to the point that we want our news in 142 characters.
Right.
Or in a quick blast, and we don't read the entire story. We're infuriated by a headline.
Mm-hmm.
And much like when and everybody can adhere to this and relate to this. Depending on your attitude when you receive a message, whether it's a text message, an email, or headline from a news source. If you're in a bad mood and in a bad way, you may totally misunderstand and misrepresent what it is you just read.
Right.
And without fleshing out the entire story, that's why I don't step out of my comfort zone and talk about political rhetoric, because I don't know enough about it. I'm not ignorant to all of the topics, but not intelligent enough, I guess is the way to say it, on that subject to make an opinion that could affect and infect other people.
Mm-hmm. I know this much. I know the average American 30, 40 years ago was reading a newspaper a day. They were going through the newspaper, actually reading stories and keeping up on the news of the day. We're not doing that anymore. Like you said, it's 140 characters. So are we, you know, you can take offense to what I'm saying. That's fine. You can go ahead and take offense to what I'm saying. But I know what I'm saying is correct. And that is, as an electorate, we are uneducated. All of us, and I'm including myself, can't weigh in on the issues of the day because we don't know it as well as people who are actually there making laws. Now, with that being said, I can't go on social media and start arguments with people about stuff that I only have a quarter or the half of the knowledge of,
right,
without researching a topic.
But we can get irritated when you hear that there are certain laws and bills being passed and
right,
that they're sandwiching in other subliminal messages into that,
mm-hmm,
that you feel like you're agreeing to this, but you don't realize that there's this backstory and that if you accept this bill or this law, mm-hmm, that it's impacting these other points. And sometimes, you know, we're too uneducated about what's going on, and we need to understand things more before we go out and step out and butt heads. This is a polarized world we're living in right now.
Right.
People are black or white. And I don't mean that in racial colors. Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems that there is no more shades of gray. There is no more understanding or tolerance or patience for
one
another.
You're right.
It is a climate of anger, frustration, and bullying. We can jump to bully so much quicker now because we don't have to face each other.
Mm-hmm.
We can do it all electronically.
Mm-hmm.
And friendships are ended by the push of a button now, as opposed to sitting and talking things out.
Right.
And we've become a planet of petulant children,
mm-hmm,
who want what we want, and we want it now, and give me my cookie, damn it. And that's it. It's a weird world we live in, man. It is. And, you know, it's going to be up to us to take it back.
Mm-hmm.
And we're on a tangent talking about conspiracies and talking about why we believe things that we believe and how easy it is. Now, this will tie into tomorrow night's show. Roy Horn is going to join us. We're going to talk about the Mandela effect. False memories that appear real to large groups of people. Is that, again, because some of this news was released prematurely? We know that there have been death notices for celebrities released, only to find out days later that the celebrity is fine. But some people don't ever hear that end of the story. Just like how many times at the end of the year when we read the in memory of, are we blown away? Oh, my God, that person died? That I didn't even know that person died, right?
Mm-hmm.
Other times we're like, God, didn't that guy die 10 years ago? Because that's how memories work. They're selective. What was important on that day, right? A lot of people don't even realize that Farrah Fawcett died the same day Michael Jackson died.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't even know Farrah Fawcett died because the story of the day was Michael Jackson.
Right.
And that's how perceptions are built. So we're going to talk about the Mandela effect tomorrow. Roy Horn will talk about this. Is there an awakening? Are we seeing parallel universes in our thoughts and memories bleeding over from one to another? Or are we simply a flawed humanity who makes mistakes in grand ways? And the reason some of us believe one thing and others believe another is because we only have the half-truths that we were taught to begin with, and that's where it goes. It'll be interesting. We'll look at that. The Mandela effect is definitely something that has intrigued us all and has been a part of our show and world with Darkness Radio and now Beyond the Darkness. So you want to make sure to do that. Check in tomorrow night. Thanks to Sean Wickens for lightening it up before we brought it back down again at the end of the show, talking about tolerable conspiracies. Some secrets are good for you. And yes, he was doing it tongue in cheek, folks. It was taking a look at some of the weirder conspiracies and trying to have a little fun with them. Roy Horn tomorrow, the Mandela effect on Friday, we'll be talking with Robert Murch, the Ouija board historian, who has some of the creepiest stories of Ouija board from history. And we'll be talking with Dr. Michael Shermer from Skeptic Magazine to take a scientific approach and look at Ouija. What can we tell about Ouija? What is real? What is not real? It's a great show, and I hope you guys will check it out because it's going to be a good one. And we've got a new Theater of the Mind you will absolutely love. That's taking place all this week. Remember to check it out. And if you're subscribing through iTunes, please do us a favor. Rate and review. Rate and review. Every time you rate and review our show on iTunes, it helps bolster us and get more listeners and build our brand so that more people find out about this and we can add more to our ever-expanding army of darkness. You can also follow us on Twitter. You can find me at Darkness Radio. You can find him at Dr. Tim Dennis. You can follow us that way. You can also follow us on Twitter. If you go in and look up Beyond the Darkness, you'll find our show there, and you can follow us as well on Twitter. So please do that. Join in, have a little bit of fun. Thank you all for being a part of our world. And remember, educate, enlighten, and entertain yourselves Monday through Friday right here on Beyond the Darkness.